Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Nacho in the Box, Nacho in the Box Sports Radio Show. Just relaxing, kicking back. Hope you're having a great Thursday. April 2nd, 2015, 10:30 a.m. on the West Coast Pacific Time, 1:30 p.m. on the East Coast for all my East Coast listeners. I think I got a couple out there. Here is the deal. I was bored. I didn't know what to do. Like I've been saying, this is the low period. This is the slow time. This is the do what you want to do time. So what I'm thinking and what I have in my mind was, I was thinking that I'd do a top 10 wide receivers for next season. Everyone's got their lists, quarterbacks, running backs, you know, corners, talking about Revis and Sherman and those guys. And we've even done some, I know of, sorry to draw a blank, but, you know, we've done all kinds of positions and teams and what have you and things of that nature. I know top 10 receivers have been done before. I know most of them have been done before, but, you know, right now I think this is a hot topic with the wide receivers. In this league being a passing league, and, you know, they are one half of a passing league. Not only do you need a great quarterback, a la Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, early 2000s Peyton Manning, things like that. When you need, when you have a good quarterback, you also want to pair him with a great receiver. Sometimes I know that's not always the case to have a great quarterback and a great receiver, or vice versa, or a great quarterback and a bad receiver, vice versa, however you want to put it. But today I'm going to go over what I believe next year, when we look at the top 10 of receiving statistical numbers, we will see these names in the top 10. Do I believe they'll be in this specific order? April 2nd? No, I don't believe this is the specific order. But I believe that this is a roundabout where they will fall in most statistical areas, maybe one or two spots above or below in most statistical areas next year. This is just how I see it from last year's play, what teams they're on now, who they play with, and what have you. Now, there is a wide variety of ways I could have gone at this. One way I went at it is that I believe that a lot of these guys, you know, they're just going to ball out. And regardless of who their quarterback is, with the exception of a couple who have great quarterbacks, you know, they would be great receivers. Most of these guys are great receivers in and of themselves. Having the quarterbacks they have can make you better, regardless of who it is. You could have a quarterback that, you know, only flings the ball down the field, only throws deep balls, and you may be a big, tall, lanky receiver that can go up and get footballs. That's perfect fit. But, you know, sometimes when the quarterback and the offensive play calling and things of that nature don't match up, injuries and what have you, players fall out of where players fall out of. My honorable mention for this list is Mike Wallace. And this is, he's not on my top 10 list for next year. But I think that next year playing for the Minnesota Vikings, they need that sort of threat. They need that sort of, down the field kind of threat for them. So I think in any way they can see this, in any way of, I can see them, thriving in this, I think maybe they can, and this might be the time with him. If they can get Adrian Peterson to play, and not necessarily to play at his best. Like, we all know the questions and the questions and what have you surrounding Adrian Peterson and whether or not he wants to play for the Vikings. And we all know that the Vikings say we're not letting go of him. Regardless of that, and regardless of how you feel how he'll run next year, you got to put eight in the box against Adrian Peterson. So I think that Teddy Bridgewater, Mike Wallace, be on the lookout for them. I don't think he's going to break the top 10 in a lot of statistical areas. He may in a couple, but I think most of these guys will in a lot. Number 10, AJ Green. I think he will be around this area, maybe two spots above. He might fall out of the top 10 statistically in most categories. I think the injuries last year, Andy Dalton's digression. I think Andy Dalton, I don't know, man. He's pretty much a washed-up version of himself, which isn't good. So I think the digression of this team hurts AJ Green. I believe he's not he's still the talent that he once was, just the team around him. And his talent will get him into this top 10 range, I believe, just not up there where you might think he is. Number 9, Golden Tate. I think once you hear my next name, you'll know why I put Golden Tate here. I think Golden Tate breaks statistical values in some of these categories. Just because of the number 8 guy I have is Calvin Johnson. Now, I know I have two guys on the same team. Calvin Johnson last year was not very good statistically. Yards ranked 16. Receptions ranked 31. Touchdowns ranked 18. Targets ranked 21st. And his average catch was ranked 18th in this league. For someone that's widely respected as the best receiver in this league, those numbers are not acceptable to me. Now, they are going to say that he was injured some games. He played a decoy some games. Whatever. If you're the number one receiver in this league, you should never, ever be a decoy. I don't understand that. I don't understand the decoy. If someone wants to enlighten me on what a decoy can be, what a decoy is, but yeah, I just really don't think, you know, being, like I said, being the number one receiver going into last year and coming up with the numbers he come up with, I think that, you know, he does do better in those numbers, but I think Golden Tate and him, they do kind of ball out with Matthew Stafford. He's always going to throw 700 times, throw for about 5,000 yards. So I think statistically these two might share a lot of those catches. And Golden Tate eats over there. Being a Packer fan, I know he eats. He eats all the time. I don't like the guy as a person, but as a player, he's great. I'm going to hold off on my list here. I'm at number 8. I got a caller from the 612. See if the caller wants to get in. Caller from the 612, what's going on, man?
How you doing? My name is Mr. Hernandez. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
And talk about wide receivers. I know you're talking about that goddamn guy from the Lions. I know. What's the decoy?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you what, you're getting paid all that goddamn money. You know what I'm talking about? Just like Gronky. Look at Gronky and the New England Patriots. My buddy, huh? Look at him. Got a touchdown in the Super Bowl. What are the Lions done, huh? Nothing. Then Stafford the stiff. You know that, don't you?
No, Stafford's not a stiff. He's
what's he done? What's he done? He's a quitter. No, he's done nothing, huh?
He's not a quitter, man. The guy broke his shoulder, took his team down the field, and got a game-winning touchdown, man. You can't call that guy a quitter.
Look at the Cowboys. They had a chance to beat him. Look at that head coach sitting on the sidelines with a blank look on his face, huh?
So how are you going to blame Matthew Stafford for the coach's blank look?
Yeah, I know. You can replay the call. No, just kidding. Calm down. Don't be a pickle neck here. I'll tell you what. How about the Bears? How about the Bears? Huh? How about that crybaby Cutler? Had all the people. Jefferson, huh? Now that guy coach with the Jets, huh? Yeah. It's all about the wide receivers. You got to have good hands, huh? I like quarterback.
You got to have
like,
good hands,
like,
but if the quarterback can't get it to you, you got to look at Jay Cutler. Come on, man. Jay Cutler's
a bad player. I know. Jay Cutler's a crybaby. He's washed up, huh? The Bears are going to suck for years to come. He needs to go to crybaby. He needs to go to Santa Claus, Indiana. Huh? He's done. How about that? How about that's where he lives? How about that food steal, huh? From Florida State Felons. The first world draft choice pay, huh? What do you think about that little cockroach, huh? Stealing crab legs. You know what's going to happen that night to the draft? You know he's going to do in his house? He's going to have a crab leg party. He's going to have a BB gun fight and a sex party downstairs in his grandma's house, huh?
And he's going to get drafted number one. And he's
I know. I don't trust that guy. I tell you what, he has no self-control.
No self-control with the field, but on the field play.
I know.
Question the guy who's only lost one game.
I don't care. What he does in college means nothing professionally. Huh? If he gets in trouble, it's automatically six games. I get it, sir. But it doesn't matter. No self-control equals jail time. Do you believe in good choices?
Yes, sir.
I believe in good choices. Bad choices, you're in bad place. All BS aside, when it comes to wide receivers, I firmly believe, I was just telling a friend of mine, is you got to have the good hands outside your body first. And that's one thing I do like about Calvin and Randy Moss. And you look at the cancer of the Cowboys way back when Terrell Owens, Mr. Cancer, he was, couldn't catch any away from his body. He was only in body. But wide receivers, to my mind, if I'm scouting for the National Felon League, I want guys who can be like Chris Carter, like Rice, like Plexico, can catch the ball away from their body in traffic. You look at the disease. Where does he catch that body usually? The ball? Away from his body. On the run. From Nancy Boy. Romo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's all about, look at Randy. I live here in Minnesota. I watched Chris Carter for years. That guy would practice at the dome, and he'd catch those balls away from his body all the time. It's all about the hands. Waiting for it to come to your body. Even you look at the tight end for my Cowboys, Wilt Whitten. He's really good at getting it away and getting his body. If I'm a quarterback, I want a guy that can go across the middle, that can get it on the run. So only look at Plexico. When he won that the Vagina Giants, when he won the Super Bowl, where was that ball when he caught the game in touch? Where was it?
Away from his body.
Only Plex could have caught that ball. You know, I get the body stuff, but if I'm teaching you, if you're my son, how to catch a ball, I want you to catch it with your hands first. You know, I want you to catch the hand bringing your body. Terrell Owens, what was he known for? Dropping the easy ones. You know Terrell Owens for one thing. Remember that time he was crying when he was with the fortune cookies against the Green Bay Penis Packers? Remember that game? He was crying because he got the one ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's also known for fathering many kids, fathering kids like cockroaches too. You know, but he's known for being a cancer. And the idiots, the Eagles, if he would have shut his mouth, they might have won a Super Bowl out there in the city of Brawley Shove, and he would have been a hero. Instead, you think of Terrell Owens, you think of fathering children and crying against Green. Right. I mean, I get it. He was a phenomenal, kind of guy, but he was always that instigator and caused problems in the huddle. And if you speak on in the locker room, and also on the field, you can't be this distractor. You got to be kind of guy. And I don't care if it's pumpkin ball, but major league bums. I don't care what it is. You got to be the leader. When they pay that amount of money, you want to be a leader all the way to the ring. I mean, you play a sport to win a ring. I think Chris Carter, Charles Barkley, and Pumpkin Ball, do you think they would give their left nut for a championship ring?
Right now they would. Right now they would.
Well, so would Dan Marino, right?
Exactly.
Dan Marino that's what you play for. I mean, I cheer for the Laundry Baskets only, my Dallas Cowgirls, my Pittsburgh Blackhawks, but and I don't wear names back of jerseys because I'm not that person. Okay, I only wear jerseys with numbers in the back, no name. You know, I have a 34 jersey for the Chicago Bears. You know that is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Sweetness.
So I have a number 8 jersey for my Cowboys, number 12 jersey, an Emmett jersey with no name because they've earned my respect. And I've talked about it on my podcast many, many times. You know, these are not heroes; they're legends of our time. You look at Jerry Jones, might probably get the break off a switch bitch. Adrian Peterson coming down to my Cowgirls. He's already got Hardy, who literally, just like Ray Rice, who, as I call him, Ray Rice, who from the Baltimore Jailbirds. You need to be outraged to see that punch. He didn't fart in the elevator. It's a shame people got that outrage on the video. he's dragging her out of the elevator like an animal, and you'd be outraged to see the punch? I mean, if I punch you in front of the camera or I punch you in the backyard, what's the difference, right?
There is no difference.
And there's
still
no difference.
Got punched.
Yeah, exactly. I punched you in front of the camera. I punched you. That's it. It irritates me. And I like the National Final League. I like all. I very rarely like pumpkin ball. I like, you know, the drunks play NHL. Major League bums are the drug addicts and dykes play running ponytails. I get all that, but too many people. I want a little character on my club. You know, I'm sorry, but my Cowboys are going down this White House old days with Jerry Jones, imbecile of my show, and it just drives me insane. But, you know, people don't care. Just score me a touchdown. They really don't care. I mean, after all, look at the NFL, sir. It's play 60, right? Play 60. You know, and they're going after the kids. So is that what you want to tell the kids? Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Tell you what, don't worry about it, huh? Don't worry about it. We'll get you on
the
roster.
Play the game.
Let's have a little respect for the game of the National Felony. I call it the National Felony because it is what it is. If I could take over tomorrow, Captain America, I'd take over at Bar Goodell. I'd work for $1. I'd clean that place up. You're a felon. You can't play. Well, there's plenty of other prostitutes coming out of college who would love to take over. You think?
No, all day, every day,
out there.
And a lot of good guys
every
too,
day
don't have felony.
Every
record.
Day would want to play football. Look at Michael Sam. Likes to put his crank in another man's ass. That's fine. He'd love to play in the National Felon League. He's going to go to Old Canada. You know, I don't care about your sexual orientation, but if you're out there beating women, I don't want you in my roster because you represent my community, correct?
Exactly.
So you want a white beater in your community? Well, you represent my club. And like I said, I see guys buying. I mean, how many Tim Tebow jerseys do you think are out there right now in Denver? Lots. What are they worth? Nothing, because he played 1 year? I mean, I wear number 18 jersey for the Colts. I would wear it for Denver because the cripple isn't done anything for Denver. And I still want to ask you a question. I wonder if Captain America, Mr. Goodell, has fined Horseface out there, the Denver dickhead, for the cripple. Remember he was on? He was injured for 4 or 5 weeks. No one knew anybody? No one told anybody? Did Goodell fine the Denver Broncos for that by any chance?
Oh, why would they do that for? He's the face.
Because you're supposed to put injury people on your injury report. He was injured. That's part of the rule, sir.
I get what you're saying, but you have to understand, Roger Goodell. He's not going to do that to Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. It's not the Oakland Raiders who don't care. So
you're telling me he's above the rules? Like no one should piss test Tiger Woods in PGA? That's what you're telling me? So he's above it?
It's not that he's above it. It's that it's like you keep saying. It's the way the league is. It's just a shitty league.
That shows me there's no character. I'm sorry.
There
I
is
like
no
the
character.
Cripple. I like the guy. When the ball went past his head in Super Bowl 48, that was his career passing his head. Okay, I get it. Thanks for the memories. You're done. Because when he's done in Denver and they don't win a Super Bowl, Horseface is going to be holding the bag and all the people that buy the laundry basket, sir. I'm sorry, but no one's above the National Felon League. All right, mm-hmm. No one. I get it's Manny, but to say that really shows me, I don't know if it's ignorant or arrogance, whatever you'd say that, but I don't care. We could tell the ball wasn't going anywhere. Something was going on. They got. What's the one language we speak in the National Felon League? What do you think? What's the one language we speak? What do you think it is?
Enlighten me.
Money. That's the language we speak. Pull your wallet out. I work for tips at the airport, the limo. I'll probably make about $500 in tips tonight. I speak the language of money. The harder I work, the more money I get. The whole point is, I mean, I'm like, show some respect and say, listen, you're getting fined your ass. Peyton Manning, without the NFL, would you know who Peyton Manning was? Would you know who he was? No. Peyton is because of the National Felony. We must protect the proverbial shield. You know, I don't talk fantasy football because I only my mother's basement, okay, or my grandma's attic. Okay, I talk about I get all that behavior sitting, at your mom's house, you know, and masturbating to hardcore porn. We're talking about fantasies. And I think wrestling is fake too. When I talk about wrestling, you already, it's nothing. It's already previous. I call wrestling soap opera. Soap operas for old men. So people.
Soap operas for adults.
Movies.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it is. You know what's going on? WrestleMania. 70,000 people to watch something fake. I'd rather watch a movie, a B movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anywho, well, I'll get all you be good, and we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, thank you for calling in, man. That was a good call from you, and I like your quips and all the little ad libbing. That's nice, man. Thank you for calling in.
Well, speculation sports, we speculate, you win. Be good, man. All right.
All right, thank you. You too. Yeah, that's Speculation Sports. He's on Blog Talk Radio. He definitely has a different side of calling things the way they are. I like his outcome, I like his input. I like what he thinks on some points. Wow, he gave a lot there. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to a lot of what he said because some of it kind of, I don't want to say went over my head, but was kind of fast. So I want to get precisely what he meant by what he was saying. So I'm going to go back and listen to that, and then I'm going to do a show tomorrow and critique it. I'm going to do one tomorrow, same time, 10:30 a.m. And I'm going to critique it, not really critique, but I want to see what he was talking about 100%. I know kind of what he was talking about, but I don't want to disagree or agree with the gentleman and not know exactly what he was saying. And to hear him one time, like I said, to hear him one time and to say what he was saying, he's very eloquent. The words he uses are not words that I'm used to listening to on a daily basis put together, especially when he mixes up the National Felon League, things like that. But again, call in numbers 347-426-3297 if you want to call in, give your opinion, just like that gentleman, Speculation Sports, Blog Talk Radio, just like he did. You can definitely call in and do that. That's fine. I don't care. I love this opinion. Like I said, I got to go back and listen to it to fully understand it. When somebody says things the way he says things, you want to understand what they say. So definitely going to go back and listen to that, talk about that tomorrow. A lot of things he talked about. I have a guest on right now. Maybe see if he wants to get on in a minute. But as I'm going to go through here, I'll rerun these down for you guys. The number 10 spot, these are, and just to rerun down, I know we got a little off track and what I was doing there. I started talking about quarterbacks and the league and what have you and whatnot. So what I was going over today was top 10 receivers I believe will be statistically in or around this place in most statistical areas as a receiver. Like I said, I don't believe these guys. This is April 2nd, so, this is just something to do, something to have a little fun with, see where everything's going to go with. So, like I said, number 10 was A.J. Green. 9 and 8 are teammates. I believe that Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson split and share a lot of catches. Like I said before, Matthew Stafford, he's definitely huge on taking lots of passes and getting lots and lots of yards. So definitely, I just think that they'll be around 8 or 9 in statistics in most categories. And like I said, Calvin Johnson last year's statistics were not really good. Jesus, hold on. Sorry about that. But moving on, going to get to number 7 here. I do have a special guest calling in from the Shakedown. J-Rock, I believe. J-Rock, are you there?
What's going on, Nacho?
Yo, what's going on, J-Rock? How you doing today?
Tell him I had to go check you out and see what you're talking about today.
Yeah, just running through top 10 receivers, I believe, will be in the, like I said, around this, their numbers statistically, seeing what they did last year and the teams that they're on. I ran through 10, 9, and 8, 9 being Golden Tate, 8 being Calvin Johnson. I did say Mike Wallace is an honorable mention to this list because if Adrian Peterson does end up playing for them and playing really well, he might have a big year. But that just depends on what Adrian Peterson decides to do or what they decide to do with AP. But that's why I put him as an honorable mention.
All right.
So number 7 is kind of coincidence you called in. Number 7, OBJ, I think Odell Beckham Jr. for number 7. Not Falls, but I think with Victor Cruz coming back, and I do believe it was Ivan on your show who said that the amount of time that all the starters in the receiving corps spent together was very minimal. I think next year they spend a lot of time together, and like we keep saying, or I keep saying, there's only one ball to go around. So I think that Victor Cruz and maybe a couple other receivers, even a tight end, take away some of the touches, but his numbers will still be good. And the reason I put him 7, I think that the receptions will be down because I think the targets will be down. His touchdowns will definitely be up there. He's definitely going to have a lot of touchdowns, and the yards may be down. But I just think that's because you're going to have another 1,000-yard receiver, but maybe not so many touchdowns in Victor Cruz. Going on to number 6, T.Y. Hilton from the Colts.
Let me
go ahead.
Question. So what do you like ballpark? What do you think, since you put him on, you know, down to 7, what do you think his numbers are going to be?
Well, like I said, it'll be a rough shot around 7, so he could be 6, maybe 5, maybe 8, maybe 9. But I was thinking maybe second, third in touchdowns, more likely second. You know, in receptions, I was thinking more along the lines of maybe, you know, 9 in the league, 9th in receptions, just because I think, you know, other teammates are going to take receptions away from him. He will get double teamed and not be able to get the ball as much. People know of him now, so he's not going to be able to get as many targets, and that's what I think will be down as well, down there as well to the bottom. I think the touchdowns is going to be the one thing that's really going to be mind-boggling to everyone. I think he's just going to get so many touchdowns. But I just think the numbers in the other categories, receptions and yards and targets, you know, and the average per catch, I think those will be down just because of having to share the ball. But he's just going to be such a red zone threat that I think you're not going to be able to ignore him in the red zone as a team. So that's why I think the numbers might be down in all the categories except for touchdowns. I believe he was one tied for 6th. There was one player, obviously, Dez Bryant with 16. Jordy and Antonio Brown had 13. And then Mike Evans, Randall Cobb, and OBJ all had 12 last year. So touchdowns, I think he's going to be around that again. 12, 13, 14, 15, maybe. Playing a full season, getting 4 more games. Shit, 16. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think he'll be up there with touchdowns. That's just because, like, the red zone threat. But I think the yards and all that other stuff will go down. But, like I said, that's just because I think there's only one ball. And regardless of, you know, how most people feel about the receiving corps in New York land, I like the receiving corps there. I do like Victor Cruz and Randall and these young guns. So I do like them, and I do think everyone will be able to flourish next year, second year under new offense.
Don't get it wrong. We like them too, but it's a question mark right now with two of them, in my opinion. You know, you got the question mark with Victor Cruz with the injury, and then you got the question mark with Ruben Randall. Is he going to be the same receiver he was the last 3-4 games of the season? I mean, you just got questions from, you know, the people who've been watching him, you know, every year on and off.
Yeah, I understand. That's what I mean. I know I don't say you're down on him, but, you know, I just think that they're going to be a lot better than not even you guys, but most people think. You know, I just think the second year under an offense like this is when most receivers get to thrive. And I think also another thing that was brought up to my attention was the little amount of time that all the starters got to play together last year. I think when that changes, that's going to change so drastically that everyone's going to be working so perfectly together. It's going to be just a widespread ball. But like I said, most of the touchdowns, I believe, will go to OBJ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But number 6, I think T.Y. Hilton. I just think, you know, with Andre Johnson over there, Andre Johnson's going to give him some help and give him get a lot of corners off of him. And I think T.Y. Hilton's going to thrive next year in this offense, especially with the Reggie Wayne leaving and stuff like that. So definitely T.Y. Hilton at 6. Number 5.
I'm excited to see who your number 1 person is going to be.
Number 5 is Julio Jones, Atlanta Falcons. He's just who he is. I think all them, like I said, all their receivers will be healthy next year, so he'll be around five in most statistical categories. I know in yards he was third last year, in touchdowns he didn't have very many. He wasn't in the top 10, I don't believe, in touchdowns. So, but he did have those couple really monstrous 200-yard games, I believe it was, Julio Jones did. So I think that skewed his yardage a little more. But I think he's consistently around five in most categories. Number four, a little hometown cooking here, Jordy Nelson. I think Jordy, with all the weapons we have back on offense, we just go back to what we were doing, and Jordy will be what he was, which was four in yards, you know, tied for second in touchdowns, you know, roundabouts right there. Average yards and stuff like that. So I think he's about four on this list next year. Number three, the man of the year last year. He led in yards. He was second in touchdowns. Antonio Brown, I think he just continues what he's doing over there. Pittsburgh and what they're doing on offense, they haven't really lost much. So I think Antonio Brown does what they need to do. He does roundabouts three. Number two, I think he balls out in spite of Demaryius Thomas. I know that there's a lot of speculation and whatnot, and him not going to the, I believe they practice at Duke with Manning and things like that. And sorry about that. And stuff like that. He's not going to that and the off-season workouts. But I think Demaryius Thomas does show up to training. Well, he's going to have to if he wants to get paid. So he shows up when he needs to show up, and he does what he needs to do. He just proves that, you know, he's worth whatever money he wanted and you know, the long-term contract and what have you. So I just think that he balls out in spite of with Manning there. Even though Manning can't throw the deep ball, a lot of people say Demaryius doesn't need a lot of deep balls to, you know, get yards and get touchdowns. He's a very, very good receiver. Number one, you're not going to like me. Dez Bryant, I believe Dez Bryant next year.
Wow.
Does what he does. The problem is, I don't think, and this is probably going into what the team does, but I think he balls out because the lack of whatever offensive rushing attack they try to have. I think that offensive line is great and players can run behind it. But when you lose a player like DeMarco Murray, it's kind of hard because he got a lot of those tough yards, you know, those first downs, those things. I know he fumbled a few times, but I just think that they rely on the accident waiting to happen in Tony Romo way more than they have the last couple years. The statistics show two or three years out is 600. 2 years out, 500 passes. Last year, I believe it's down to 400 passes. And the wins, playoff wins, those all, you know, mean stuff. When you take away the ball from Tony Romo, we saw what happens. So I just think that they're going to have to throw a lot next year to try and stay in a lot of games. Another knock on that team was the defense played out of their minds. Like, they played way beyond any expectation, anything can anyone can any dream of, because of the way they ran the ball. So I just think that the defense can't do that 2 years in a row, even with the addition of Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain, no matter how many games they get suspended for or want to retire or whatever. So I just think that that team is going to go back to Tony Romo just chucking it down the field as much as he can. And Dez just catches everything regardless, you know. Even if a rule's in his way, he still catches it.
I got two questions or comments. You mentioned your guy,
Randall Cobb? No, I didn't put him in the top 10.
All right, let me. So, what do you think about Jeremy Maclin in Kansas City? You think he's going to have a breakout yet?
You said a wide receiver in Kansas City?
No, I'm saying Jeremy Maclin. I'm not saying against Jerry Mack? You don't think he's going to have a breakout yet?
I think he'll have a good year, but I don't think he'll have a breakout top 10 receiver year. I mean, in every statistical category, he might have, because they're going to want to get touchdowns in KC, he might have a lot of touchdowns. But I don't think he's going to have, like, yards and catches and targets and all that stuff, because they just – we saw what happened with them last year, just that team. They don't throw to the wide receiver, and they don't catch touchdowns before.
Based on the offense and what Alex Smith does, and he's just a game manager, right?
Mm-hmm. I think if he went anywhere else, he would be in my he would probably crack the list if he went to a place where they had a quarterback who wasn't just trying to throw the ball 9 yards to get a first.
Okay.
Like, that's all Alex does. Like, he's so great at just not losing. Not only say not losing the game, because he loses lots of games, but trying not to lose a game for you and trying not to turn the ball over. That's more of his concern than trying to make plays, trying to be a quarterback. He's more concerned with not turning the ball over and not being the cause of a loss that sometimes, or what we saw, no wide receivers get touchdowns. You know what I mean? Because, like, you would think if he took more chances and tried to be at least a quarterback and threw it to the end zone, his interceptions might be up, but some receivers might have touchdowns. You know what I mean? I just think that he's just, like you said, he's a quintessential game manager. He just relies too much on trying to not lose or be the reason of a loss for a game. And that hurts him a lot.
Who did you have at 10 again?
10, A.J. Green.
All right. If it was me, and this is just my opinion. I think Andre, because I'm an Andre Johnson fan. He came into the league from the U. I think he's going to have an outstanding season. He might have a distant quarterback for all 16 games. I think he's going to have a musty year.
With Andrew Luck?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can't deny
never,
that. I just think
he's never had that. He's never had a good quarterback. He's had a great quarterback. He's had decent quarterbacks, but he's never had a great quarterback. And then you got some seasons where he doesn't even have a consistent quarterback. Quarterback's getting hurt, you know, shit like that. But I think now, like, even though it's, you know, later on in his career, I think if he has that great quarterback, man, he can do some things this year.
You know, I don't put it past him. I just think age and attrition. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do like the drive. I do like the fact that, you know, Houston came at him with, like, we're going to, you know, decrease all your targets and catches and all this stuff. And he was like, wait a minute, you ain't doing that to me. So he up and left and went to a team that just throws the ball a lot. So, yeah, I can understand that. I just think that T.Y. Hilton, this is his team. This is his time to shine. And I think Andre's there more to mold, not mold, but help him become a better receiver. And then also you're like take some of that pressure off of T.Y. When it comes to the defense. Because, like you said, regardless, Andre Johnson's still a tough guard. You still got to get on him. He may not be able to blow past you, but he's a great route runner. He's you know, catches the ball away from his body, and he's still a big, tough, physical receiver. So I just don't know if he'll be in the top 10. But if T.Y. is, you know, threatened by him in any way, you know, we don't know how they're going to react. T.Y. may just see him as like another Reggie and step to the side. Be like, okay, I'm just going to let him take over, and I'll just be over here doing what I have to. You know?
See, that's the thing, Steve, too. I'm guessing, well, I'm not trying to speak for you, but I'm guessing a lot of people underrate Andre Johnson, in my opinion. That's how I see it. Because when you talk about the best wide receivers in the game, nobody really mentions Andre Johnson. Even though he's had garbage quarterbacks, he still averages almost 1,000 yards a season with nobody throwing him the ball. So, I mean, a lot of people underrate him. A lot of people don't talk about him. But, I think he's going to have a very good season this year. Andrew Luck.
You know, the thing is, and you're right, and there's another guy I'm going to throw out who works out an hour away from me, Larry Fitzgerald. They both got that same quarterback syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they both are putting up numbers now. I don't think Larry's putting up close to 1,000. I think he's in the 800s. But still, you know, when you're going through four or five quarterbacks a year,
exactly.
Every year, you're right. And I do underrate Larry, and you're 100% right. I underrate them, and I think that it has to do with the fact that the quarterback play, and you underrate these guys, and I don't understand why I do, but I underrate these guys because they're not consistently, and I don't know if it's because they're not consistently in the media because they don't play with a good quarterback, or if because their teams aren't winning as much because they're going through four or five quarterbacks. They're not going to win as much. You know, Cardinals are pulling it off with a great defense, but we all know the Texans, they're doing a little bit, but I don't know. You're right. I do really downgrade both of these guys, and I think it was because of the play of the quarterbacks. And if you see a poor play quarterback in and out, you have to think everyone just assumes that the receivers are playing poorly as well.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a perfect example, I'm glad you brought up Larry Fitzgerald, because a perfect example is when he had Kurt Warner. The dude was unstoppable. He had a great quarterback. He was unstoppable. He was catching everything. He was like what Odell Beckham is now. He was catching every freaking thing.
Yeah, he was just making it look like it was easy out there. Coming off of, who was it, Leinart and all those kids, or just coming off of everyone that he had to play with, then having to play with Kurt Warner, or getting to play with Kurt Warner for those couple of years, they lit up the field. And then he was talked about as one of the top receivers in the league. He was going to the Super Bowl, and then he loses him. He still puts up 1,000 yards, I believe, the next year after Warner leaves, with really shit at corners, at quarterback, and then it's decreased since then, but still, he, like you said, you know, he's putting up numbers, but you got to rate these guys as top of the league, and now you got to say, with Andre Johnson, you know, that might tweak my list a little, thinking about Andre Johnson, what he has done with what he's been forced to play with, and now getting to play with Andrew Luck. Man, he might have a breakout. That might be an honorable mention with Mike Wallace. that's really – you really never think about it when you have teams that have, like, multiple quarterbacks that just stink all the time. So, like I said, I just assumed all of the – you know, I thought, you know, Andres was good. He had those good breakout years. He had over 100 yards, over 100 catches and a lot of yards. And, you know, he was at the top of the list. He was making great catches. Then there was a couple of years he got hurt, but he was still putting up numbers. But, like you said, he was running through Schaub, you know, Pick Six McGee and Schaub, and then T.Y. Yates, mm-hmm. and you know, insert name here. That's who they had at quarterback the last 4 years. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick. it's just like, man, how do you
– Let me ask you a question about – you said Mike Wallace was your honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? I mean, because, and again, like I'm saying this million. to me, I think he's just like a one trick pony, man.
I mean, just that nine route.
Yeah, because like when he came, I mean, when he was with Pittsburgh, you know, that was his go to thing. But when he went to Miami, it was like he just disappeared in that offense. It was like, what happened?
You and know, then, do you think that a lot of people, I'll ask you just real quick to rebut, do you think that what people say about him getting his money and stop playing, you think that's truthful? Or you think that has something to do with it?
No, I think that he went to the wrong team. I think he should have stayed with in Pittsburgh. He should have stayed in Pittsburgh for whatever money. I mean, maybe he did go to Miami for the money, but that was the wrong offense for him.
So, but see, that's why I think even with this offense does a heavy play action. And I think You just run a play action and make him run a nine. And if you've got Adrian Peterson, even if he's not running the ball, even if you've got Asiata, they're still a run-heavy team. Mm-hmm. And I just that's why I said he's honorable mention, just because I think I've seen this team be able to not do anything with the ball. But I've also seen it been able to, you know, go nutso. Well, I mean, even though it was in the snow, you know, they went back and forth with Baltimore, wasn't it? Them in Baltimore in the snow. Just, you know, I think it was Cordell Patterson running all the way down the field. I can't remember the game or whatever. But they just do so much sometimes and then so little at other times. I think with him there, being able to just spread the defense, and like you're right, I do think the nine route is his specialty. He did do a little bit of route running in Miami. He did catch some things over the middle and take them, and I don't think he took them to the house, but, you know, 40, 50 yards. But I don't believe, or I do believe in this offense, if they run the ball and then just put him out here and have him running nines all the time or even posts, he's going to burn still people. And
let me ask you this then. All right, let's say that you never seen a Miami game and you didn't know anybody, you didn't know any names on the Miami squad. You turn on the TV, you're watching a Miami game, right? Mm-hmm. You see their receivers. You look at a Jarvis Landry, a rookie, and you look at Mike Wallace. You don't know who's number one, you don't know nothing, right? If you're mm-hmm. looking at that, if you're looking at a game for the first time, you would think that Jarvis Landry was the number one wide receiver. Based on how many targets he gets, based on how he runs his routes, based on, you know, everything, you would think Jarvis Landry was the number one wide receiver, and he's not. So that's what I'm saying about Mike Wallace. They don't even throw the ball to him, man, because they don't even trust to throw it to him.
You're right. You see, I just thought maybe, and I was under the belief that he took the money and run. You know, he got his money and was like, okay, I'm going to do what I want now. You know, I got my $100 million or whatever he got over there, and I'm going to be okay. And, you know, I was mm-hmm. under that impression. I was, because even in Pittsburgh, yeah, he was, you know, catching those balls deep down the field, but he was most of the time he was running a little route, a dig move or a double move or getting these guys. And I know his speed was just fast, but I don't know, man. I really thought it was to the fact he got the money. But when you bring up targets, and you know, that's the big thing, targets to me, because if they're trying to get you the ball and you can't get the ball, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if they're not trying to get you the ball, I think that's all. That's also the lack of trust. Like you said, the lack of trust. They're not even trying to even allow. They're not even allowing you to fail.
Exactly.
Like, they're just going to say, you know what, we're going to try somewhere else because we're not even going to just, you know, whatever with you. We paid you that money, and you're not even what we thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
why they was quick to trade him to Minnesota, man. They didn't even blink an eye when they did that. which is like, I mean, I don't know if you blame that on the management, but, I mean, on the GM. Because they, you know, I don't know, was it the same GM who made that trade? Or who picked him up in free agency? Who traded him? Or was it a different one?
I'm not sure. I don't think they've changed GMs in the past few years. But the thing is and when you still pick him up, at that point, he, you know, the numbers spoke for themselves. What he was doing,
yeah.
you had to believe in it. And you wouldn't have to, you would have to foresee Antonio Brown to know that Mike Wallace was what Mike Wallace was going to turn out to be. And now that I think about it, what Antonio Brown was able to do, which was Mike Wallace 2.0, you know, that would probably prove to you, like, you know, what the numbers he was doing, why Pittsburgh was so willing to say, well, let's just, you know, move on. And because we got him, first of all, we got Brown.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, because Pittsburgh is like, well, you know what? We already foresaw the future for Mike Wallace, so we're going to let him go because we got Antonio Brown. And we feel like he's a better wide receiver than Mike Wallace, which he was right, because ever since that, Antonio Brown's career took off, and Mike Wallace is floundered and drowned. So I'm guess they was right in their assumption. And a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans was like, "Oh, you crazy? Why you letting go Mike Wallace?" All this, and now I don't think they saying the same tune.
No, I don't even think they care. They ain't even worried about nothing.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. And you know, I thought, and that's what I was thinking. And the only reason I was thinking that he might be the honorable mention in Minnesota was because of the way they used Percy Harvin and his speed. Percy really didn't do much. He had a lot of nine routes as well, but you know, the other things he did in the backfield, taking the ball on reverses and things like that, their offense is equipped for that. And Mike Wallace, he tried to do that a little bit in Miami. Miami still runs, you know, that freaking Wildcat and stuff like that down there. So they tried to do that a couple times, and he looked comfortable in it. They're just not really good at it. Minnesota's good at it. They're good at stuff like that, especially now with Teddy. I think they could, you know, do something in that effect. But I just think it's more or less the team he's playing on helping him out than actually him balling out into that effect. And that's why I thought he might break the top 10 and maybe hit 10, number 10 in some statistics. But that's the only reason why. I just thought that team with a running back, and like I said, and I don't know if you heard, but I did say that I think you asked me, but I didn't get to answer. I have Minnesota taking Melvin Gordon, number 11 in the draft. I think if they take either Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley, the writing's on the wall. Adrian Peterson's getting traded. I think all this he's not up for trade talk was because we're not trying to trade any picks. And we're not trying to move. And we don't care about anything right now. We're fine with what we have. We're going to go do what we need to do in the draft. And then once we get what we need to get, if we get a running back or if we're able to get something we're comfortable with, then we'll trade Adrian. So I think and I think that Minnesota does what they do sometimes, and a lot of times in the past week drafts, they've shocked some people. I think they go running back first round. And then picking up phone calls. Then they're picking up phone calls immediately. I mean, it's just immediately the phone's off the hook, because if you take Todd Gurley, especially if you take Todd Gurley, and with all the things that have been said about him and his rehabbing, and it's funny because they keep using his name, Adrian's name, in comparisons to Todd Gurley's rehab. So if they take Todd Gurley 11, in my eyes, you know, all 31 teams know Adrian's up for trade. You have to know that. Like, I don't think you can do that and keep Adrian and be like, yeah, we drafted, you know, with our 11th pick a running back. We also, you know, turned our back on you and your time of need, but we still want you to play for us? Come on. I don't think any rightful team in their right mind. And I don't even think, even if they draft, if they don't draft one in the first round, it's hard for me to say that he plays there next year. Just because of the way things are going out, I just think that they're trying so hard to, you know, get a running back that wants to play for them, but do it, you know, in the best way that's best for the team. Because I don't know if you trade away Adrian now and you miss on a running back in the first round and you miss on another one and you pick up one and they're nothing and your run game is non-existent and you've got Teddy Bridgewater again, you know, running out there with no run game, then they're straight out of luck. And, you know, I think even if you have Adrian under contract, regardless of what he thinks or feels, you still get to trot him out there. And that number alone still puts 8 in the box.
True.
So,
but you know what? I can see that. I can see that happening. But I think in the draft, and I'm just putting it out there, I think either Arizona or Baltimore are going to be the first teams to draft a running back. I think Arizona, because I think Arizona picks before them. So I think Arizona's going to be the first team to take a running back, because they need a running back.
You know, in my first ever mock draft that I put up there, I had Melvin Gordon going to Baltimore. And then I changed it to a tackle on the latest one. I put Melvin going to Dallas, I believe, changed to Baltimore to a tackle. Or no, I'm sorry. Gurley going to Dallas, Gordon going to Minnesota, and then Baltimore taking a tackle. But I don't put that. I definitely don't put it past Baltimore taking a running back. I just didn't think that would. I didn't think Gordon would be there, and I didn't think that they would trust Gurley. So that's.
But you know what? I think Baltimore is more equipped to take Todd Gurley and have him sit behind Justin Forsett for a year. I think they're more equipped to do that.
That makes so much sense. Because if you, I'm just trying to, that makes a lot of sense. And I had a question for you guys too, for you about sitting players. And that was one of them. Do you take a Todd Gurley if you're a team that's not necessarily got, you know, even an Eddie Lacy, but a team that's got, you know, a running back like a Justin Forsett who's maybe on his way out in the next couple of years, and you could sit there this year and come in every few games and then next year take the reins.
Exactly.
And that makes more sense and helps the Ravens out, and that Ray Rice was probably their without punching a woman, Ray Rice was probably their running back for the next 5 years, even with the poor performance, because he probably was going to come out and try to ball this year and may have, because we all know the talent he's got last year. So that's an interesting take on Baltimore. You don't think they go receiver or defense in the first round?
I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, if they go defense, I think they're going to go to cornerback. But I'm thinking, you know, some of these GMs like to look to the future. And I know how, you know, Ozzie Newsome, he's a very good late round draft person, because he usually gets a lot of his compensatory picks in the later rounds and he makes good choices with them. So I mean he can basically choose whoever he wants in the first round, because he's always going to have somebody waiting in the wings to replace whoever he gets rid of in free agency or what have you. So I'm just throwing that out there, but they probably go wide receiver or defense. If they go defense, I'm thinking they're going to go with a cornerback.
Yeah. And when you get to those lower picks like that, it's hard to determine what those guys are going to do, because with the Packers and what I recently experienced is we trade out, whether it would be up one or two or down six or seven. And so with those picks, it's hard for me to determine, because who they might like also may not be there, like their top two. So trading down to get someone that they find will still be there. That might be an option for a lot of these lower teams, because of the talent that's in this draft, like at every position, and especially after you get past the top 20, everyone's just so within a point or two of each other. So it's hard to determine which teams have people where according to their needs as well, because when it comes to overabundancies, I got like a minute and a half left, but when it comes to overabundancies in the draft like this, I think some teams get hard-pressed because you have needs and you may have like three or four players at the top of your board who aren't in your needs, but they're just so good players. And then you go to draft and you've got, you know, who you need is really, you know, let's say top of the second. You know, you've got these guys who are rated in the top 15 who are still around at 30. What do I do now? I don't need a linebacker. So I think a lot of teams just say, you know, I'm not screwing up, I'm taking the linebacker. And then the vice versa, which is my team half the time, they say, whatever, let's go get three or four fourth rounders and trade down to the bottom of the second or the middle of the second. And that's just the thing that a lot of teams just, I'm so confused at what they're going to do. It just drives me nuts.
Exactly. And Baltimore, they might be looking to replace Aholi Nata. So they might go defensive line too. There's going to be a lot of defensive linemen that are projected to go in the first round. And what they got, the 26th pick? They got a plethora of defensive tackles to choose from. You got Jordan Phillips. You got Carl Davis. Preston Smith. You got all these guys. So they can go in whatever direction they want, man.
You know, it's going to be hard to see. You're right. It's going to be hard to call them. They're a hard team to call as well. Like you said, Ozzie Newsome does so well in the draft. And he's one of those guys that does like to stack up in the bottom and just go pick up lots of gems. And not necessarily all pro or pro bowlers, but perennial starters. You know, people that just are on your team and contribute every day, every game. So he's definitely a great GM. But I am out of time, J-Rock, so I know you got an hour and a half to your show, an hour and a half? Yeah, hour and a half to your show. Thanks for calling in, man. I don't really usually get a lot of call-ins. You know, like I said, Black Friday came in once, and now you, Shakes comes in, and I get rolled in one time. I had the whole crew. It'll be, it'd be cool. thanks for coming in.
You know, we got to support you, man. You was there from when we first started. So, we're gonna support you however we can, man.
Exactly. And I try to put it on there. And like I said on your show, Tremaine Anderson, man, he's on Twitter a lot. He be helping me out with my Twitters and retweeting. You guys be retweeting my stuff. I just want to thank you guys. Thank you, Shakes, everybody. Thank you for coming on again. I really enjoyed the banter, talking about receivers. I know you're not too happy about Odell at 7, but
sorry.
Like I said, it's April 2nd right now, man. And I was just trying to have a little fun and make a nice list. It was actually hard putting this together. I put it together about 3 hours ago. It was hard putting this together because, you know, looking at the stats from last year and teams, and I left off Mike Evans.
You sure did. And I was going to talk about him, but you know, you don't have no more time, but. It's cool.
Yeah, and I'll bring him up on your show if we've got some time. I'll talk about it if you want. But I realized I left him off at the end when I finished my list, and I said I got to leave him off because I did it already, so I can't, you know, just mess the list up. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, this guy may just, you know, shit on my whole list. But
you know, I just want to throw another name out there, and maybe you can think about it, but. I'm gonna go with Brandon Cooks in New Orleans, man.
Yeah,
I mean that's gonna be the number one guy now. Well, exactly. Along with Marcus Colston, but he's gonna be the number one dude.
Yeah, with Jimmy Graham leaving, that opens up the playbook for so many people, and that's why New Orleans is gonna be tricky to see what they do next year because Drew Brees is still Drew Brees, you know. And losing Jimmy Graham, you lose that production from one player. I still think Drew Brees can move that production around to multiple players. So that's just what it's going to be. It's going to be different to see if he can actually do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to throw any more names out because I know you don't got no more time. So
yeah, I have a whole bunch written down too. You know, and touchdown guy Torrey Smith over here. I think he was fourth on the list. So I was going to, you know, think about him and maybe him doing something in Baltimore, but. It's so many wide receivers that it's a hard list, and especially with the crop coming in this year, this list may have to go to 20 by next year. But thanks for coming on. I'll hit you up. I'll definitely get up on your show if you want to do. I know we're not on live, but it'll be for the podcast if you want to get a plug and close out for the show.
Oh, definitely. Shakedown Show, man. I'm a co-host / producer. Y'all can check us out 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. Calling numbers 929-477-2686. And we talk sports, man, just like Nacho. But we mainly talk Giants football, man, every day, all day, Twitter, Facebook. Y'all can catch us on Facebook. We're on SoundCloud. Podcast Republic. You can download our archives. You need to check that out, Nacho. Podcast Republic. Tell all your listeners, man. Easily download all your archives on that if you don't have iTunes. Better way to do it. You can download the app on your smartphone or on your iPad or your tablet, whatever you have. And that's it. We're also on YouTube. So whatever, if we have like a special guest, we'll throw that up on YouTube. So y'all can subscribe to us on YouTube too. Shakedown Show. Instagram. I always have Instagram pictures on there. So y'all can check us out on Instagram and check out bbnuncensored.com. We have draft prospects on there almost every day. And we also have all that good news for the New York Giants football team.
And, you know, I did hear your little conversation. Well, not little, but the conversation you guys had about the name. I'm in agreement with you, BBU Uncensored. BB Uncensored. That's definitely, that sounds good. That works good. And even if you wanted to BBU.com, I don't know if that's taken already or not, but that if you wanted to shorten it. But BB Uncensored definitely sounds perfect. You know, that's an amazing, if you guys are going to go with that, that you got my vote. I know it don't count, but you got it. But like he said, check him out, Blog Talk Radio, Shakedown Sports Show. They do everything I do, but better because there's more, and they got cool music and all the intros and all that good stuff. Call them in, let them know what you got going on. Thanks for calling in, J-Rock. And again, I just wanted to say thank you guys for calling in. You guys are the best. Everyone's awesome that calls in and listens. If you're still listening right now, Nacho on the Box Sports Show, and I'm out of here. Thank you, everyone.